You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. And today is Monday, May 2nd, 2011. It is 12:01 and 27 seconds. I now have a relationship with time.gov, but you have a relationship with WRIR, and so you are going to give us a call during our Fund Drive Week. Welcome to it. Welcome to The Defenders Live as a part of that. The Defenders Live is a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And if you would like to learn more, please visit one of several websites, defendersfje.org, for historical reference, documentation, articles, features, events, issues, etc. defendersfje.blogspot.com for more current events and postings and images and slideshows and videos, and the sacredgroundproject.blogspot.com for more information about the struggle to reclaim Richmond's African burial ground, all of which relates to the founding of this show, Defenders Live, back in January of 2005, when we were born along with WRIR on Richmond's radio waves and internet stream. I kind of like that, being a part of a current. So, I want to thank you for tuning in today. This is the Fun Drive show. This is a day when I get to tell you what I think about things that are coming up and things that have happened in the recent past. I'll start with this weekend just to give you a little overview. Saturday, I participated in an annual event of the Richmond Peace Education Center. That's www.rpec.org if you want to learn more about the Peace Center and its activities. The Youth Peace Summit is an annual event where there are trainings, workshops for kids who are ages 13 to 18 to come and share and learn skills and information about opportunities regarding social justice and peace, including conflict resolution, anger management, which is something that, you know, I've often thought that there's sort of too much emphasis, and I talked to some of the kids in our workshop about the fact that they get so much pushed on them about conflict resolution, about self-empowerment and confidence boosting and all these kind of things. And we know these things are necessary, but you know, you can just see their eyes roll over when they hear it, you know, yet again, somebody else is coming in to tell them how to be good people and manage themselves in a society that is harder than they know, or maybe just as hard as they are experiencing it. So these things are valuable, and one of the lessons that I have learned from teenagers is that no matter how many times they roll their eyes and act like they don't want to hear it, they are listening because they are taking their cues from the grown-ups around them, because even when they're feeling their most rebellious and resistance, they do know that people who have gone through it before do know something that they don't know. And so they pay attention, just may not show it in a way that you can pick up on. And sometimes they do. Sometimes we're not paying attention. So it's always a good experience and a good idea to mix it up with young folk, with older folk, in order to learn the lessons that we do have waiting for us out there. So that's the Richmond Peace Education Annual Youth Peace Summit, and that was a really good event. I learned about a new organization. They're probably not new. I learned about the Conciliation Project, which is a theater group whose mission is to promote, through active and challenging dramatic work, open and honest dialogue about racism in America in order to repair its damaging legacy. And they did a performance that focused on bullying, which I thought was really, really good. There was an article in the paper today that talked about the another current trend, which is to focus on obesity and either curing or solving or addressing obesity in American culture, in American life. And one of the things that was pointed out is that maybe there's a little too much emphasis on it and further emphasizing people with who are overweight, according to some standards, or larger than what we perceive as the ideal norm or maybe the healthy norm. But when there's so much emphasis placed on it, it sort of further marginalizes people who are bigger and who have to deal with that, whose first interface with everyone seems to be their weight or their physical size or what they look like in that regard, and that it further subjects people to bullying on the basis of weight. And certainly, you know, teenagers have got to be the most conflicted group of people on the planet because they are going through their changes, because they are seeking their identities, because they are trying to identify with a group and be normal. Every single teenager out there is seeking their normal and their normal peer group and all of that. And so in order to do that, oftentimes what they will reach for is separating themselves and distinguishing themselves. I'm a part of this group. This group is normal, therefore every other group is not normal. And that, of course, can lead to some really unfortunate dynamics. In other circumstances, it can lead to really creative dynamics. So I just sort of wanted to draw the connection between that piece that's in the Times Dispatch and then this really powerful production, short, concise, and powerful production by the Conciliation Project during the Youth Peace Education Summit. So just to let you know that, you know, people are paying attention and working on issues. I think that's something else that I'd like to mention. Is the way that as each individual or maybe group discovers a problem or experiences a problem, they suddenly go, nobody's doing anything about this and nobody's working on this and, you know, we still have all these problems. And it's true. We do still have all these problems. And if you step into one arena, you could definitely feel like nobody's working on it. On the other hand, you really have to get out, and you really have to step out of your own arena to find out that, you know what, somebody is working on homelessness, somebody is working on race discrimination, somebody is working on joblessness, somebody is working on religious discrimination, somebody is working on oppression in the poor white community, and somebody is working on it in the black community, and somebody is working on it in Muslim communities, and somebody is working on poor funding for the arts, and somebody is, you know, people are working on things, and that's where we need to feel empowered. And people are working on community radio right here on WRIR. That's why you get to hear my voice today. I'm not sure I'd be on commercial radio. I'm not sure I'd be sanctioned by regular radio folk and advertisers. So we're glad that we can be here on WRIR and bring you the perspectives that we bring you. So, as you know, you're going to get that sort of interwoven commercial aspect, but I want to point to some things as well. So Saturday was focused on that effort, and then on Sunday was May Day, and May Day means a lot of things to a lot of different people. On the one hand, May 1st, I think, makes people think about spring and the coming of things all light and white flowers and pink flowers, and it follows Easter and a lovely sense of everything being in full bloom, and, you know, it's a new, gorgeous time of year. May Day also is a distress signal. The military uses it, the Coast Guard uses it, all kinds of people. Mayday, you call on a radio, you say, Mayday, 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 and it's a distress call. And we could call it a societal distress call. It's an emergency event. But that's something that, you know, some of us have learned through movies. Maybe we have a relative who's in the military or in somebody that's actually had to use or respond to the Mayday call. If you've ever been on a boat, that's something that is right there, probably in red letters. You know, push this button to call May Day. But then again, we also have May Day in terms of International Workers' Day. It's an annual observation around the world to honor workers. And it started many years ago to honor the struggle to achieve an 8-hour workday. It commemorates the Haymarket massacre, the Haymarket crisis, and that led to the executions of anarchist worker activists. And there's a powerful history of the United States labor history that's tied to the observance or lack of observance of May Day. And one of the things that happened was that Labor Day got separated from May Day. And in the United States, we celebrate Labor Day, of course, in September. But it was in a way to separate it from its origins in a much more controversial and deeper struggle for workers' rights in this country. Labor Day is seen as a day of picnic and celebration and a little commemoration. May Day digs a little deeper into the political and actual historical events that have led to the legacy of workers' rights in this country. So on this day in Richmond yesterday, there was a May Day coalition. I think it's their third annual observance of May Day by holding a rally and parade in some part of Richmond, typically downtown, typically involving Broad Street. This year, if you've been following the news, you will have observed that there was a struggle with the police department in terms of trying to get a permit to hold the parade and being refused a permit unless they paid for off-duty officers to provide traffic control. And the case ending up going to court, represented by the ACLU. And then a federal judge finding in favor of the police and against an injunction. In just a second, we'll give you a little follow-up as to what happened there. But right now, I do want to let you know that you are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRIR 97.3. That's low-power FM radio here in Richmond, Richmond's radio for the rest of us. And it is Fun Drive Week, and we really want you to give us a call at 622-9747 and pledge your support of this program, of this radio station. This would be a good moment. Call 622-9747. You can also donate online at WRIR.org. It's right there. It's easy. And there can be all kinds of premiums to reward you for your generosity in supporting WRIR. So thank you again. And as we move forward, May Day, the result of the court case, represented by the ACLU, was that the federal judge found against the injunction that was being sought by the ACLU on behalf of the May Day Coalition. A permit was only going to be granted if they were to pay for the off-duty policeman. What becomes interesting is that this is not the first time that this issue has come up in terms of the right to free speech as demonstrated by seeking to hold a public protest on the city streets. It has come up, I think, at least three times before over the last 10 years in reference to this issue of requesting the permit and being pushed back long enough so that it's you approach the deadline for seeking a permit and the police indicating that you will not get that permit unless you pay additional monies for off-duty police officers. And the position of the organizers was that that they should not have to pay additional money when the police is already paid by our taxes to provide this kind of support for, especially for a free speech dynamic, and that is the right to protest or demonstrate on public streets in a city. So, what happened? About 200 people, 250 by some counts at certain points, gathered for a May Day rally in Monroe Park and then at a certain point stepped off and took to the streets. And they took immediately to the streets and held up traffic a little bit, maybe for about 5 minutes on Main Street, maybe 10, and then fully occupied Broad Street. That was pretty interesting to watch that happen. The demonstration actually occupied both sides of the street. I think traffic in both directions for about 2 minutes, and then focused on the direction in which they were marching, and fully occupied that the streets until they marched all the way back to Monroe Park, where it began. I think traffic was maybe held up for 10 minutes at most on any given street, and things went very well. There was a great jazz band at the head of the march. And there was an accordion player at the back end of the march, and the weather was absolutely lovely, and people really were in a very celebratory mode, and really, you know, calling out to people to celebrate May Day, Happy May Day. Somebody jumped out of a window on the ground floor to join the parade. I'd love to say we had the ability to, you know, leap from four stories, but you know, it was a ground floor leap, and she joined the parade, and it was a very good stake in the ground for the right to free speech and the right to demonstrate in our public streets. So, congratulations, Richmond! Congratulations to the May Day Coalition for pulling that off in such a strong way and a positive way, which is what people will always say to you: as long as you do it positively, we have no problem. So there it is. So, as we go forward, we are looking at some upcoming events and upcoming opportunities for commentary and to follow things. Tonight, I wanted to let you know that there is a very interesting talk. Dr. John Meeser, who is a professor emeritus at the University of Richmond, will be speaking on Unpacking the 2010 Census, the New Realities of Race, Class, and Jurisdiction. That will take place at Holton Elementary School and is sponsored by the Richmond Crusade for Voters and the Richmond Branch NAACP. For more information, please call 337-0698 or 321-1924. That's 337-0698 or 321-1924. And that's tomorrow night, Tuesday, May 3rd, a talk with Dr. John Meeser, Unpacking the 2010 Census, the New Realities of Race, Class, and Jurisdiction. This coming Thursday, May 5th, should be the date for the next Slave Trail Commission meeting. It's usually held at the East District Initiative Office, 701 North 25th Street. The last meeting was canceled, so we would expect that this meeting would go on as planned. It's usually 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon. That's this week, May 5th, the Slave Trail Commission meeting. It'd be important to be there at every meeting, but this one follows on the unveiling ceremony and progress being made on Richmond's African burial ground. And to follow with that, Wednesday, May 25th, the trial of the four African burial ground advocates, Rolanda Cleopatra, Donnell Brantley, Autumn Barrett, and Phil Willato, go on trial at the Manchester Courthouse, charged with trespassing. This is based on the April 12th civil disobedience, where those four and four others, Tiamba Wilkerson, myself, Maurice Robinson, and Paul Fleischer of Richmond Peace Education Center, successfully blocked access to the VCU parking lot that continues to desecrate Richmond's African burial ground. One of the most unique and intriguing aspects of that April 12th event was that we blocked access to the parking lot. We were never asked to leave by anyone on site. They simply wanted to know what we were doing, and then they proceeded to very efficiently and effectively pull out signs that they already had ready that said that to close the parking lot and indicated that there was alternate parking in another lot. They also had to reroute the bus that goes through the parking lot and provide a pickup point for people who normally would park their cars, again, on the burial ground and catch the bus from that site. And then the arrest was made at 8:38 a.m. They just moved in very quickly and charged each person with trespassing. Four of us stepped off the site, and the other four were arrested. So the trial is Wednesday, May 25th. At 9 a.m., there will be a sidewalk vigil, and then folks will go into the courthouse for the 10 a.m. trial. They are asking people who come to wear white shirts or tops in order to show visible solidarity en masse for the burial ground advocates. And there is more information, I think, in an event on the Facebook page. If you go to defendersfje.blogspot.com and go to the calendar page and scroll down to the Wednesday, May 25th, you will find a link for that Facebook page. Or you can just go to Facebook and type in attend the trial of four African burial ground advocates, and that should come right up. So there's a lot going on this beautiful month of May in Richmond, and all of them pertain to those issues that we have focused on from the beginning, the right of peoples to self-determination, a principle of respect for each other, respect for others. And it's been a very good learning opportunity for extending that into many of the other issues of the community. One of the things that was also good about the May Day event was the way it brought together people from many different struggles, much like the Virginia People's Assembly has done every January. There are a lot of struggles, and they are interconnected, and it is important that when you pay attention to one, you recognize its relationship to the others. It's one of the reasons that we bring in interviews from our brothers and sisters who have immigrated here from Africa in this century, as opposed to the forced migration of centuries past, to find out what their experience is coming from contemporary Africa to contemporary United States, and how these same issues, those of, you know, housing, shelter, clothing, jobs, the economy, political repression, economic repression, what they find when they come here, how it's better, how it's different, the changes of people's perspective of coming here to stay here, and others who are now coming here to gain skills and build up resources in order to go back home with those skills and help their home countries. So it's a little different. Migration looks a little different potentially these days than it did once upon a time. I'm delighted to be able to bring those things to you, and I'm delighted to be able to do that here on WRIR 97.3 FM. WRIR is Richmond's radio for the rest of us, and it's so important that you support it. Each individual's contributions matter. Please give us a call at 622-9747. There are people on staff to take your call. The more than 200 volunteers that make this station run are profoundly grateful for the reflected support by your financial contributions to keep this station on the air. So again, 804-622-9747. Make your donations now. Show them you support Defenders Live and WRIR. You can also do it online, wrir.org, www.wrir.org. And on that happy note, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Defenders Live and tell you that I look forward to talking to you next week and in the weeks to come. Keep up the struggle. Remember that kindness matters. It's a powerful tool, and you should use it often. Thanks for tuning in. 622-9747. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now.